Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple. Recommend Apple Podcasts. On Android, we recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server. You're going to want to be on there this week. I mean, there's certain weeks where not a lot going on. There's more going on this week. Check out the host updates. Communicate with Heat fans all day long. Get off of Twitter. I mean, you got to do a little bit of that, but no, you don't want to be on there all the time. Plus, a lot of political stuff. There's a debate going on next week. Avoid all that. Just talk Heat. Check out Off the Floor, $2.99 per month. The link is right here in the description on the YouTube channel and the podcast feed. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. Our friend Nelson over at c-armandstaffing.com. That's c-armandstaffing.com. 561-891-9620. This is specifically for people who work in medical offices, okay, of any kind, hospitals, medical offices. You need x-ray equipment. You need the staffing. They bring it to you. Great people based here in South Florida. Big Miami Heat fans as well. They've come out to some of our watch parties. Mobile C-Arm Staffing Services or c-armandstaffing.com. 561-891-9620. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Butler said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. We got Greg Sylvander. You can follow him at Greg Sylvander. And Alex Toledo, you can follow him at Tropical Blanket. We're doing some revisionist history, so to speak. One on the Playback channel tonight. Make sure you subscribe to playback.tv/5RSN. We went over the Tyler Hero selection with whatever people think about how it's playing out at the moment. You cannot make an argument that Tyler would have gone any further down than 6 or 7 in that draft if you redrafted. And the Heat, of course, got him at 13. So we went into that, some of the elements involved and kind of where it goes from here. We also did an episode about the 2003 draft. That one, there's no question about. That, of course, was Dwayne Wade. And today we're going to talk about the guy that Alex puts in his little, if you're watching us on the YouTube channel, and we hope that you are, in addition to listening on the podcast feed, he puts this in his parenthetical every episode here. Michael Beasley enthusiast, to the point that Alex went to see Michael play in the Big Three with Mario Chalmers. Michael did what Michael does. He scored a lot, didn't defend a lot, looked spaced out a lot, but was ultimately a good watch. So, you know, this is your episode to a certain degree, although we're going to turn it over at the end to Kevin Love. This feels like forever ago, but I've been holding this. I talked to Kevin, who was drafted 4th by Minnesota that year, about his interactions with Miami Heat prior to that draft. And I think people will find it interesting. He's very open and honest about it. And but it also plays into what might have been for the Miami Heat. So let's go to the top of this draft. I'll start with it. And again, the context of this, we've talked about this in prior episodes. You know, sometimes the Heat get lucky in terms of where they pick, and sometimes they don't. And in this case, they should have had the number one pick, but it went to Chicago. Miami had its worst season in its history, 15 and 67. One of the worst seasons in Miami sports history. The Dolphins were 1-15 that year. And so they were 15-67, and so they were lined up to get Derrick Rose. They didn't, but they got the guy who was, for most of the year, considered the best player in college basketball, Michael Beasley. After him was O.J. Mayo, who I will tell you is the guy that Dwayne Wade really wanted. He worked out with him before the draft. Of course, O.J.'s career cut back early with some off-the-court problems. Russell Westbrook was fourth. I said Kevin Love fourth earlier. I'm wrong about that. He was fifth. Danilo Gallinari was sixth. Eric Gordon was seventh. The immortal Joe Alexander, who played all of 67 games over two seasons, poor Milwaukee, was eighth. DJ Augustine, ninth. Brooke Lopez was 10th. And then you had some other guys like Jared Bayless, Jason Thompson, Brandon Rush, Anthony Randolph, Robin Lopez, Maurice Spates, and then Roy Hibbert, who I remember, or my friend Troy Stradford, who played for the Dolphins. I hosted a radio show with him. He was pushing for the Heat to take Hibbert, literally at two, which I'll never understand that from Troy. Although he turned out better than some of the other players. Greg, who did you want before the draft?
This was a slam dunk Michael Beasley draft. I mean, I don't think anyone can look back and say, oh, we wish we would have taken Russ or K-Love. I mean, I guess that those cases can be made today. But I remember back during the draft cycle, it felt like not a bad consolation prize when you got the second pick and you were going to get Mike Beasley. I felt like that he was going to be kind of Carlos Boozer meets Carmelo Anthony, and it just didn't unfold that way. But I thought back at that time, the Heat shouldn't be ridiculed for the pick. He was the guy the whole time.
All right, I'm going to give a little context of this because I was at the Michael Beasley introduction. They did it in the main arena. It was a big deal. Like, they did it in the main bowl. And I remember Randy Fun was the general manager at the time. For those who are not familiar, Randy had been a GM and a coach with the Lakers, had been kind of Pat's right hand for a long time. We probably should have gotten Randy on the podcast for this because I stay sort of tangentially in touch with Randy. But he really wanted Beasley. I mean, he really wanted Beasley. Like, it came across when we talked to him at that presser on the side, he couldn't stop gushing about him. And again, there was no reason to doubt it, because of what we'd seen on the court. He was the best player in college basketball. Derrick Rose was the highest upside prospect. And of course, Mario Chalmers beat Derrick Rose in that final. And Mario will always remind you. But Michael was the top prospect, to the point that it was such a big deal that I went up to Summer League in Orlando that year, and they still had it in Orlando. I wish it was still there. And I always remember Beasley's first game, because there was no limit on fouls. So he was playing against a guy named Sean Williams. Not the Sean Williams that played for the Heat with the H in his name, but S-E-A-N, who was like, he was a pretty decent big guy prospect, but kind of a space cadet himself. And Bees committed, I think, 12 fouls in that game and missed 12 shots or something like that. They just kept letting him play. And Rio actually outplayed Beasley in that game, and it was kind of a precursor of some things that came. But I can tell you, from the fan perspective, there was no question about this. I can tell you, as I go to Alex here, from inside the building, there was some question. I had heard at the time that Pat was okay moving down and taking Brooke Lopez. That's one of the various rumors that I heard at the time. And of course, Brooke went 10th. I mean, it could be argued pretty safely now, right? I mean, Alex, that Brooke Lopez has had a better NBA career than Michael Beasley?
Jury's still out. I'm sorry. I'm playing into the character, but no, Brooke is still in the league. Bees isn't. Brooke could probably still get paid by different teams. You know what I mean? Be sought after as an NBA player. So yeah,
Heat fans want Brooke Lopez now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, I'll just tell you that from a games played perspective, Michael Beasley is 22nd in that class. Mario Chalmers was 21st.
Oh wow!
And now Bees actually scored more points than Rio. That's not surprising. Is the other stuff. And actually, if you just looked at Beasley's numbers on paper, his career splits were 47, 35, 76. I mean, not bad at all. Average 12.4 points in 22.8 minutes. 4.7 rebounds, 1.3 assists. That was never his strong suit. And of course, the defense. And he did play 11 seasons, although some of those seasons were kind of truncated towards the end. I'll just give you the games played leaders from that draft. Russ, DeAndre Jordan, who was drafted 35th. It's a good draft, by the way. Nicholas Batum, third. He just hurt the Heat. Brooke Lopez, Robin Lopez, drafted 15th. Fifth in games. DJ Augustine, sixth in games. Goran Dragic, drafted 45th by San Antonio. Imagine if he'd played for the Spurs, because he was kind of a Manu type. Seventh in games. And then Love, Ibaka, George Hill, JaVale McGee, Eric Gordon, who's still playing, Courtney Lee, really Gallinari, really strong draft. Derrick Rose, 15th in games, still bouncing around. God knows what would have been with him. Spates, Bamute, Costa Kufos, Roy Hibbert, Ryan Anderson, Mario Chalmers, Michael Beasley. I mean, it was a very strong draft.
For real.
And to pivot back on Bees here a little bit, they tried to make him a starter right away, Greg. Like, they gave Mario the starting job, and he played all 82. And mm-hmm. that team was really much better than expected. I mean, Dwayne played, obviously, at an insane level coming off injuries. But to go from 15 wins to the playoffs in Eric's first year as head coach, and to have a rookie point guard and to have Beasley. But the one thing was, they tried to start Beasley, and Haslam agreed to it reluctantly. But they went back to UD.
Yep, the shift had to happen back. And that was the reoccurring theme, that they could never really count on Beasley to step up and take that role. I think Heat fans all thought it was going to happen. Like, it was the natural progression that he would take over at some point and become a pillar of the front court for them. And the fact that he never separated himself was kind of the theme for Michael Beasley early in his Miami Heat career. And it was kind of sad in retrospect, because he was supposed to be the next star for the Miami Heat, that he was drafted as such. And it just was, it just seemed like it was not the right moment for him. Alex and I were talking pre-show a little bit. He was a little ahead of his time. And I think that that's a important part of this. It just was one of the picks that, when you look back on it, you can't fault them for taking him, but it's one of the more disappointing picks in Miami Heat history.
Well, if Beasley had worked out, and this is the pivot to the next part of this, if Beasley had worked out, they don't basically give him away to try to create the big three. And that's where I want to go with this a little bit, because let's look at the players that they could have picked and whether or not that would have changed the way they approached 2010, because they made a decision sometime around 2008, and Pat and Andy, they've all talked about this. You know, Pat was like, well, do you think they would leave their current teams? You know, Bosch, LeBron, others who were going to be in that class, Joe Johnson, there was a whole long list of players. Do you think they would leave? And Andy, they were like, oh, maybe, you know, okay, let's at least sort of set the course for it. But the last move that they made was basically dumping Beasley on Minnesota, which I actually talked to Kevin Love about separately. And of course, so Kevin played with Michael there. And you'll hear Kevin say that even though he worked out for the Heat, that the Heat were always going to take Beasley. That essentially, they've told him since, that now that they've got to know Kevin so well, yeah, we were thinking of taking you, but he doesn't really believe it. You'll hear that coming up here. But let's look at this list. If they take, let's say that they take OJ Mayo. Probably, I mean, same course of history, right? Even though, again, that was Dwayne's guy. But let's say that they took Russ. And you have Russ and Dwayne as your backcourt.
Well, let's also clarify, though, and maybe I'm wrong, but didn't trading Beasley enable them to bring Mike Miller and Udonis Haslam in? They had the space to do the three maxes. This is more maybe about
right.
Would it have been Haslam or Miller that would have came? And I think Westbrook, you could have made the case, would have stuck fine, and Kevin Love as well. It's just Beasley was overlapping with LeBron and Bosch in ways that just was never going to work. So I think that's something to consider, at least.
Now, as they draft Westbrook, and they have Westbrook and Wade. First thing, does Russ become Russ? That's maybe the most dynamic athletic backcourt in NBA history. Although the shooting would have been a little shaky there. How does that even look? Like, if it's Westbrook and Wade as your backcourt, because they were going to take Rose, Westbrook, in terms of athleticism at that point, I mean, Russ was another level, but Derek was pretty damn athletic at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been a similar type of thing, because, like, you're basically, you know, giving way to somebody who you're going to be considering to be like a high usage star alongside Dwayne for you at that time. So I think it would have been interesting to see how that would have worked. I don't think that would have stopped them from pursuing the big three. Like Leif said, they probably just would have, you know, made it a priority to keep them and probably not get either one of those guys between UD and Mike Miller, or maybe perhaps both of them. I don't remember exactly what the financial situation was in 2010, but I remember that was the case. Like, you had to move Bees if you wanted to get those vets. And I mean, honestly, I think you could have made a case that Bees could have been like a productive player for you for the big three. But at that time, it was like, you're so bare when it comes to like rotation players that you just wanted vets who you knew would fit in nicely. And I guess like that was the thinking. Whereas like maybe now, you know, he like, I know he wasn't a star right out the gate or anything, but those first couple of years, he did show a lot as far as like, okay, he can score on an NBA level. And he wasn't necessarily on a superstar pathway or anything like that. But I think, you know, like somebody on that, with those first 2 years where he was productive as a scorer, if this was happening nowadays, like that young player, if you had the chance to keep him while maneuvering for this big three, that the team probably keeps him now. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to hold on to this young asset and just, you know. So I think you can make a case for that. But I think regardless, no matter who they would have drafted, it doesn't get in the way of the big three stuff, you know. But man, Beasley at the time, though, like I was looking back to remind myself on his college, his college numbers. And as a freshman, he averaged 26 and 12. It's absolutely insane. Like, he was dominant. He had all the measurables with like being whatever he was, like 6'9" with the big hands and the long arms, pretty athletic, just a dominant natural pure scorer.
Like, you know who his closest comp was at the time, particularly in what he did his first year, although they didn't cash in with a title, was Carmelo. Yeah. That was Carmelo, when he did the 1 year in Syracuse with the gaudy numbers, the ease of which he scored. The difference, I think there are two differences between Carmelo and Beasley that separated the two of them. One of them was Carmelo was functional on defense. He wasn't great, but he was functional. And the other thing was just court awareness. Like, that's just, I mean, I don't know any other way to put it, but it was just Carmelo had higher basketball IQ, basically.
And professionalism.
Right. That plays in with it. And I think that's where they got tired of dealing with some of the stuff, which honestly, the Heat organization as it is now might have coped with it a little more. I'll say the other thing on Bees is just everybody liked being around him. Like, that was not the problem. Like, I'll even remember, like, even when LeBron brought him in and they developed a friendship. And then I remember they brought Beasley back the year after LeBron left, along with his college teammate, Henry Walker. And I'll always remember I was in the locker room in Atlanta because I was covering the Cavs that year. And LeBron was on his phone watching Beasley step out of bounds at the end of the game. Okay. And he's just dying. Like, he's just cracking up. He's like, he's like, that's just Bees. Like, he was sitting there on his phone checking. He's all Bees. Like, they all liked Bees. Like, they did. Like, it was not, I mean, Bron liked it. Remember, and of course, there's the thing that's come out on the OG show and all these other places about, you know, how Beasley would beat him in one-on-one. I believe it. Okay. I mean, I honestly, like, when you talk to people about Beasley as just a natural pure scorer, but he just drove Spo nuts. And I feel, and especially handing him to Spo as a rookie head coach too. And I just, the eye rolls that I would get from Dwayne sometimes about some of the things that he did. And then they replicated it with Whiteside a few years later, right? Like, and that's, it's just, it just has a short shelf life in the organization. That's the thing. Like, they'd rather get, like, and I know that this bothers some Heat fans who just want the upside talent plays, but they'd rather get like a Roddy Magruder who they know is going to be in the right damn place than deal. I mean, am I right, Greg? They'd rather get a Haywood Highsmith, right? Like they'd rather.
That's a better example. That's, yeah.
Oh, okay. Or even fair, like a 36-year-old Andre Iguodala. Like that's the, you know, where they know the guy knows what he's doing out there.
Proven commodity. Those
are undrafted players, though. You know what I mean? Like. You know, Beasley is the exact opposite of what you're talking about. Like, they just went all in for talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. But, I mean, I want to be clear on something else. Nobody was projecting Russell Westbrook as the number two pick of that draft. Nobody.
I remember we were talking about this with Leif. I was saying this to Leif pre-show. Mm-hmm. Like, wasn't he considered a reach?
He was a reach. Yeah, he was a reach even with the athleticism because, honestly, at UCLA, he didn't really play pure point. I mean, he played with Darren Collison. And K Love, who handled a lot, and people didn't know if he could make the transition to play point guard.
K Love was I remember asking him.
He was, and I remember asking Dwayne about Russ early in Russ's career. It might have been closer when they placed him in the finals in 12. And I asked him about if he ever felt, you know, he felt like Russ's athleticism was comparable to me, and he gave me this look like I was nowhere near Russ. Like Russ from athleticism perspective was. Those teams in OKC were the fastest teams I've ever seen. You'd be sitting there on the court, crowd going crazy, and they just flew up and down the court. And it was Russ, it was KD on the wings, it was Ibaka filling the lane. They were just a different level of speed, and it was all led by Russ. Like he's literally the most athletic player I've ever seen in person in his prime. Just crazy. But the Heat were not going to take him there. That was not it. Brook Lopez was more of a Heat pick, was more of a Pat pick, and honestly really filled the need for them at the time. They did. And look, and Brook was a totally different player then. Brook was like considered to be like a poor man's Tim Duncan, like a low post guy who to his credit, has developed into more of a three-point shooter over the course of his career. But if the Heat had traded out of the Beasley pick, picked up an extra second or something like that, and taken Brook Lopez, Heat fans would have rioted, right, Greg? Like,
that would have been considered the worst case scenario,
right?
It's funny because he ended up being more of a franchise like centerpiece than Beasley was. Not that he was ever a superstar, but like he was the centerpiece for the New Jersey Nets.
I'll say this. The only other guy you really could have made an argument for at number two was K-Love, honestly. And the thing was, K-Love's body was different at the time. He talks about this here in the upcoming clip. But he was kind of a little doughy. Like it was sort of like he had an interesting skill set because the outlet passes were even there at that time. And he was a very good rebounder, had good touch. But I'll ask you guys before we get to Kevin's interview, because I asked him the same question. If they take Kevin Love and he developed, the first thing, does he develop as quickly as he did in Minnesota? Not as a defender, obviously, because Kevin was not a good defender for the majority of his career. But offensively, in terms of all of it, like with him playing with Dwayne, I asked Kevin the question, so I'll hold his answer. But Greg, I mean, what would that have looked like? I mean, do you need Bosch then?
Yeah, I think of it more in terms of he's the five in that group. You have Love, Bosch, LeBron, Wade, and Rio. Like that's fun stuff right there. So to me, that would have been an unbelievable. You wouldn't have had UD or Mike Miller, you know. So there's
right.
Obviously like Mike Miller had a big moment or two. Udonis had a big moment or four. So you'd have to weigh those different things, but that would have been the one guy that I think would have bridged those timelines in the most interesting way, just because they were always kind of cycling in different guys at the five, and mm-hmm. Kevin Love would have been able to assume that position for them.
Yeah. I mean, they cycled in like Shopwell, like old stiffs. And then Joel Anthony was more of kind of a athletic player until they found Birdman, who was like the perfect fit for that group. And that was, in retrospect, I mean, if they went 37-3 after they got him that season, it's just insane. Like that, people talk about the 27 game winning streak. He catalyzed a lot of it. He filled out their rotation. They ended up sort of with a perfect team that year. But I was like Kevin Love and Dwayne Wade running that pick and pop. I mean, Kevin was pretty good by his like pretty good right away. Like, it didn't take him very long.
Yeah, I think that would have been a nice little, you know, dynamic duo there. And, you know, there's some of the same kind of things when you look at, you know, the way that Love and Beasley like to play. Not that they're a similar type of player, but as far as, like, they both like to face up. They both like to play on the block. You know, Love with more of a low post game, whereas Beasley, you know, like we mentioned, Melo, you know, was more of a shooter, even though Love has been a fantastic shooter throughout his whole career. But I feel like, you know, Love was more kind of an inside-out game, and I wouldn't necessarily describe Beasley's game as that way because he can just kind of score from everywhere. Where Love back then, like, I mean, you would have had to run stuff for him, but I think, you know, the duo between him and Wade would have been more natural than what happened there with Wade and Beasley, where, you know, you can run two-man action with them more easily back then. And yeah, like, maybe he ends up being so good that you don't go after Chris Bosh. Like, I guess that's technically possible, but, you know, it's just Chris Bosh at that time was also a, you know, a really damn good NBA player. They might have just, you know, like I mentioned earlier, just swung for that and then try to, you know, do everything you can to hold on to Love instead of moving him like they did with Beasley. So I don't think it gets in the way. And like Leif said, I think at that time, like, you know, two bigs like that, even that would have been kind of small for the time. So, you know, I think they would have tried it though. I think they would have tried it because Love was a big boy, and Bosch, you know, again, was like 6'10", 6'11". Like, I think they would have absolutely tried that. And maybe, you know, maybe it gets in the way of some of the history, right? Whereas like the move was Bosch to the five, but I mean, that would have been a nice pick. It's just, again, even with the hindsight, I know I'm biased here. I have Michael Beasley enthusiasts under me. Even with the hindsight, again, somebody who averaged 26-12 in college as a freshman, that's insane. That would go like that would be an insane story if that happened today. You know what I mean? In a game where we all acknowledge is faster and more spaced out with higher scoring, even if college is a little behind. But like, if that happened today, that would be insane. And you look at the measurables, you look at the scoring, like how natural he was. It was a home run pick, like Leif said, and it's just so disappointing that it didn't turn out well. I also think, just to slip this in here, I think OJ would have been pretty decent on the Heat. That's just like a random thought.
There are some guys who, if in the right system, I know we say maybe he and Beasley had some of the same issues, but like I feel like in the certain system might have been better. And if he was around Dwayne every day, then maybe it might have turned out better than it did for him. Initially going, I guess, to Minnesota, what was not a very good team at the time. That does change the dynamic. Players who go to better situations tend to be better. It's just the way that goes. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the Mayo story is kind of disappointing because there was so much. There was a lot of hype with him, too. I mean, again, there was a lot of hype with a lot of these guys. OJ Mayo was considered the best player in high school that year. And actually, Beasley passed him that year. And then Rose was considered the guy, kind of jumped out. I remember Rose being on the cover of ESPN magazine before his freshman season. So there was hype, but it felt like, you know, Beasley, again, emerged as the best player. And it's hard to make the argument against it. It was just pretty clear after about a year they were tired of it. That was the thing. And there was some off the court stuff that never got reported that Pat had to deal with, and it was a lot. And again, it was never a thing where they thought the guy was a bad person. I've never heard that about Bees. It was just concentration, focus, and some other off the court stuff that kind of played into it, and that was more of the frustration. All right, but someone who hasn't had an issue with concentration and focus, Kevin Love, got a chance to speak to him. We're going to get to that right here after I tell you about Insurance by Lynette, insurancebylynette.com. Our friend Lynette at A Aggressive Insurance, 954-581-8800, 954-581-8800. Life insurance, car insurance, renter's insurance, every kind of insurance, the insurance agency that works for you, and, of course, lots of Miami Heat talk as well because she's one of the biggest fans of the Heat that we know. She's a fan of Kevin Love as well. We know that from the playbacks when she was following them. So here's my interview with Kevin Love again. This was conducted actually right in the middle of the first round of the playoffs, of course, a long time ago. So some of that just is that context. Also, there were some bouncing balls around. But I think you'll enjoy this. Kevin, pretty open about the 2008 draft. Thank you, guys.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up. who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weighted handle, I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer, means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And I met with Coach Riley. I know Andy was there. A few others were there as well. I think I met them at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel. So I went through my interview process. Obviously, Coach Riley, my dad played with him for the Lakers and knew him for a long time, but still knows him. But I remember I worked out at UCLA on the floor. There was just me, the guy I was working out with for the draft. Was there, and that was probably one of my hardest workouts because I think Coach Riley wanted to see what I was made of.
What did he do to you?
You know, put me through the ringer. Everything was half court, full court. He was testing, you know, my brain, but also conditioning wise, kind of seeing where I was at, what I was made of. And I appreciated that because I played for Ben Howland, so we didn't play around. We didn't play around, but he wanted me to know that there's levels to this stuff.
What was your conditioning like then compared to now, like this moment?
I mean, I was probably the best condition of my life when I was playing 38 minutes a night or 35 minutes a night when I was in Minnesota. And then when I got to Cleveland, I was more on the perimeter, but still getting up and down. I think naturally when you are playing, I think I played about 17 minutes a night, 16 this year. So like I have to do a little bit extra and always available and ready to play 30, but that keeps me in better condition to play. Right. That 15 to 20 minutes, that sweet spot. But definitely, it's that raw youthful hunger is there, but that energy, I remember Michael Jordan talking about it in the docuseries. He was talking about, like, you know, once I got to 32, 33 years old, your energy is just goes down a little bit. You don't have that Nico 20-year-old energy, so you have to find ways sometimes to manufacture, but you can continue to put in the work. So much of it is mental with your conditioning, I would say majority. So just staying on it, but part of this culture here is to, even if you're not playing, or if you're playing 15 to 20 minutes, or you're playing 5 minutes, you're gonna be conditioned and you're gonna work.
Did you think there was any chance they would take you at number two, or are you convinced they were going for Beasley there?
Beasley,
yeah.
He had such a great year.
Yeah.
I knew, obviously, Derek was gonna go first. You know, in revisionist history, they like to say that, it was close. Or, you know, they were looking at, obviously, like O.J. Mayo and those type of guys. But I'm sure I was on their short list. I would have loved to be here. But I think I would have been grateful to be here because I think my maturation process probably would have sped up because I needed a veteran. And I always say, like, now, like, I want to be the veteran that I never really had. Like, I had Al Jefferson, but then he got hurt. And then he was out of it. And then we were the youngest team in the league, or we had – you know, it wasn't conducive to winning when I think we had the lowest payroll. Like Darko Milicic was our highest paid player one year. So I'm like, then I got to Cleveland. It's not that I had bad habits. I didn't know what it meant to sacrifice. I didn't know what it really meant to be a truly great teammate. Those are things I haven't learned. And I didn't learn until kind of 6 years in, 5 or 6 years in.
Now,
or 7 years in.
Now, that team at that time, the vets were, I guess Dwayne was in like his fifth or sixth year, UD also. It wasn't a heavily laden veteran team.
Even Andy, even Bob Wilson, even this fucking guy, you didn't even hear me. You know, Coach Robbie, Coach Skull being from Portland, Michael Lissack, obviously. No, just a lot of people from top to bottom here.
Did you ever think about what it would have been like to play with Dwayne in his prime? Because that was Dwayne in his prime. 08, 09, we think he should have. I know, with all due respect to Bron, Dwayne probably was the MVP in 08, 09.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. Like, there was like the fact that Kobe only won one MVP, and then, like, you see, Steve Nash is a really great friend of mine. Like, he won two. Did he take one from Kobe? Did he take one from Shaq? I know that Shaq feels this way about it, but if you look at the numbers, if you look at the record in the West, like, certainly both of those guys were deserving, but sometimes it just...
Two-man game with you and Dwayne? You and peak Dwayne? What would that have looked like?
I probably would have got to my, because I came into the league and initially my first 2 years I was told not to shoot threes, and then the game became that, but also I was like, I have the skill, I can shoot, I can really shoot, and that was just never something that they really wanted me to do early on, until actually Kurt Rambis was the first one. It's like, you need to start shooting threes. So he had the foresight to kind of see where the game was going, but I think it would have been amazing. My screen and roll, I would have cleaned up if he would have missed my outlet passes to him.
Yes.
Like me in my prime and with Dwayne and me coming up super hungry and being around a place like this that would have really helped me grow, I think it would have been scary.
So the final thing here, they have done pretty well in the draft in recent years. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Bam at 14, Tyler at 13, Jaime, Nico in the teens also. If you were to give, because I know that you've seen it, if you were to give one piece of advice to each Nico and Jaime going forward for their games, what would it be?
I mean, for those guys, they're so far ahead of where I was mentally. I mean, I really had the hunger, I had the work ethic, which they do as well, and it's pretty apparent that that's what the front office looks at too, is temperament, character, you know, how they approach the game, if they're unselfish, if they play both sides of the ball. But again, I would just, the best piece of advice I got was from Kevin McHale, and he said, chase the game, and everything else is ancillary. Nothing else really matters. If you chase the game, everything that you want in life will chase you right back.
Thank you for listening to the Five on the Floor on the Five Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Find all your 4th of July needs at low prices, all in the Kroger app. Get USDA Choice bone-in tender ribeye steaks for $7.99 a pound with a digital coupon. Limit 5, then buy 2, get 3 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.